The Pat McAfee Show is wildly popular on ESPN, and a part of that crew is our very next guest here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Huge honor to have Ty Schmidt joining the program for the very first time. Ty, a huge diehard Packers fan, and I am always so interested in his perspective on what is going on with the green and gold. Good morning, Ty. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Jen. You said the honor is all yours. That's BS. The honor is all mine. I'm juiced up to be joining you guys. I appreciate the invite.
Well, let's begin with this, because you're a kid who grew up in Iowa. You went to Iowa. I was reading a little bit about you starting out on the Pat McAfee Show as an intern, but you've been a Packers fan forever. How did that get started? Where does it come from?
Just kind of, you know, family lineage. My grandpa, you know, was a Packers fan in the 60s. So I grew up, you know, Lombardi, all that kind of stuff. I think the first jersey I had a Sterling Sharp jersey that I remember wearing to school, you know, when I was super young. And it is, I mean, it's great. I mean, I remember watching Chewy play, you know, when I was a young kid, and I was always a massive fan of his as well. So I've been, everyone in my family is a Packers fan, really my mom's side and my dad's side. So I've been a Packers fan, you know, my entire life. A lot of people I grew up with in Iowa were Bears fans and Vikings fans. So I was, you know, there weren't too many Packers fans. So it was kind of perfect because I always had adversaries to kind of butt heads with as well.
Look at the professional, Chewy, starting off the show by complimenting you.
Love
it's
it.
Like he knows what works with you.
Yeah, you're right. Have you ever been to Lambeau, Ty?
Yeah, I have. Not for a while. I'd like to go more. I went when I was younger. I want to say I went to a Packers-Chiefs game when, you know, Priest Holmes was the Chiefs running back. So it was probably I was probably like 11, 12 years old, but obviously, you know, with this job, it gets a little tougher trying to get to games, but I'm hoping to get back to at least a game or two, you know, this upcoming year.
Well, we can make sure that happens if you want to get to Green Bay.
Favre.
Never got to see Rodgers play at Lambeau, unfortunately.
Okay.
That's a long time not to go to Lambeau. All right, so how do you think the Packers offseason has gone so far? What grade would you give it?
Man, that's tough to say because I'm one of those Packers fans where, especially going into this year, when you hear about the salary cap space that they have, which isn't exactly something they typically have, you know, you want a couple splash, you know, acquisitions. And obviously that's not exactly what the Packers have done in the past. I think when you look at it, you know, beefing up the offensive line and adding a guy like Nate Hobbs, I mean, they're not super splashy names or moves, but at this point, anything to kind of, you know, beef up the run game, because obviously that's kind of what the Packers moved to last year. Personally, I think re-signing Brandon McManus, although it kind of went under the radar for me, you know, not having to go into the season with the, hey, are we going to have Braden Arvidsson? Is it going to be Anders Carlson? I mean, we saw how many game winners McManus had last year, and just having a dependable kicker, especially when we get towards the winter months in Lambeau, I think that's something that, you know, really went under the radar, but was huge. I'd give him, I don't know, a B minus. I think that's, I mean, we'll see what they do in the draft. Nothing crazy. Obviously, they're not going to steal too many headlines, but I think they could have done much worse as well.
Ty Schmidt joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and you are preaching to the choir, man, because Gabe was leading the campaign for the Packers to franchise tag Brandon McManus if, in fact, he didn't want to sign a long-term deal with the Green Bay Packers. That's how valuable he thought he was to their success last season.
It's one of those things, Ty, where, like, I mean, we had Mason Crosby for so long, and it's dependable. And then you go through the nightmare of a season and a half of not knowing if your kicker's going to actually make a kick. Like, the solution's right in front of you, and I'm glad they took it. That is huge to me, that you don't have to worry about that headache for the next handful of seasons.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I still think back to that, you know, NFC divisional round game against the Niners, where who knows what, you know, could have happened. But I feel like you have McManus in that game, there's a chance that, you know, the Packers end up beating the 49ers in that. And, you know, they're playing in the NFC Championship against the Lions. Obviously, you know, you can hindsight's 2020. But yeah, I think that's huge moving forward.
Ty, what did you make of Brian Gutekunst's comments about urgency in the offseason? He said the words, and now we're trying to hold him accountable and hold him to that same standard that apparently he has for everybody else in the organization. We have been grossly underwhelmed by the pass rush and the defensive line, and we think they need to address it, and we don't know if it is going to be a priority, because it feels like to us they think that the coaching is going to be the big difference between last year's production and this upcoming year's.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it, I guess. But, you know, I mean, you guys know as well as any other Packers fan out there or people who are in Wisconsin, Chewy. I mean, like, the Packers are – there's always urgency. You know, it's not okay to win seven games and, hey, you know, we're – because I feel like that was the big narrative, is everyone talks about how young the roster is, and it's, hey, we just got to wait, you know, let them get a couple seasons under their belt. Maybe we get a couple veterans in a couple different rooms here, and then this team can really make the leap. But you look at what's going on around the division. You know, you have Jordan Love right now. He's young. Who knows how many healthy years Josh Jacobs has left. He was the focal point of the offense last year. So yeah, I mean, I think you look at the defense, it pains me to say it as an Iowa guy, but you know, a guy like Lucas Van Ness, who I had incredibly high hopes for, and whether it's, you know, he wasn't getting as much burn as maybe he should have been, or he just wasn't producing on the field, like, they need guys like that to really step. Even Rashawn Gary, you know, you pay him that contract, and it's, I get the pressures are way up there, but at a certain point, you got to get to the quarterback, and we got to start seeing some sacks. So, I don't know. It's just, you look around the division, the Lions aren't getting any worse. The Vikings aren't getting any worse. And the Bears, you know, with Ben Johnson, we'll see what happens. I feel like every year we're talking about the Bears being, you know, a team that might go win the Super Bowl, and it never happens. But, you know, they certainly look like they're getting better as well. So, obviously, you have to have that sense of urgency.
Would you be in favor of them putting a package together to go and get Hendrickson from Cincinnati? Because he could possibly be available.
Yeah, when that first popped up, that's kind of immediately where my mind went to. But then we hear what the Bengals, you know, a bunch of teams have reached out, and the Bengals want a king's ransom for it. Yeah. So if you have to give, you know, a first round pick or a second round pick and a couple more picks, and then you have to pay him, you know, upwards of $35-38 million or wherever that lines up, that just doesn't seem like something the Packers would be willing to do. Although, you know, the proof is kind of in the pudding. I feel like if you do get a guy like that, like, he will produce, and it probably raises the level of line play, you know, for everyone else in that room.
Bengals are just apparently printing money over there, right? They got a room in the back where they're just printing money to pay all of these guys.
It helps that T. Higgins took less than market value. But that's all they're going to pay is four guys. The rest of the roster's kind of crappy. So, you know, this is what's going to happen in Cincinnati. Speaking of wide receivers, do you think the Packers wide receivers are good enough? That's a no. All right.
Yeah, no.
Here's the thing, Ty. I'm going to give you a little more time. See, Pat, when he asks questions, talks a little bit longer. You cut right to the chase. You didn't really give Ty a lot of time to work on an
answer. He hasn't had the offseason, you know, to think about the Packers wide receivers?
I'm just saying, usually when Pat asks a question, you got a little more time to figure out the direction you want to go, and you were like, boom, answer.
We got the true raw emotion out of Ty.
No, in the sense of, again, that room is just so young. And I think if you pulled all Packers fans, I'm not saying they were going to go out and get, you know, T. Higgins. Obviously, that was never going to happen anyway. Or even a guy like Diggs. I know a lot of people wanted them to trade for DK Metcalf. But I think in the position they're in right now, where you have one of the lowest paid receiver rooms in the NFL, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, again, to, you know, trade a bunch of draft capital, giving how well Gutekunst has drafted, particularly, you know, at wide receiver. DK Metcalf didn't make sense. I don't love the dangling, like, McCole Hardman, like, that's the big, you know, like, yeah, hey, we're good, we're done. You know, they talked about how young that is. So even if they get a guy like Egbuka in the draft in the first round from Ohio State, I still feel like you just need a veteran in there. And whether that was someone like Cooper Kupp, you know, like, again, I understand not paying $15 million a year for a guy who's banged up, but there's got to be somebody out there who could give them a veteran presence. And again, you know, it's tough for like a guy like D-Hop. You know, I get him wanting to go play in Baltimore as opposed to playing in Green Bay. But I think there's work to be done there. But my big thing was we need Tucker Kraft more involved next year. Mm-hmm. You know, like I need him to – I feel like he came out like gangbusters, and then he kind of had that little lull there in the middle of the season. Like when they get him the ball – he produces and he plays like a George Kittle. So we'll see. Obviously the receivers had a little bit of a down year last year, but I'm hoping that a full healthy year of Jordan Love, the chemistry gets better, the continuity gets better, and we'll be in a good spot, you know, come crunch time.
Ty Schmidt of the Pat McAfee Show joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, Ty, what does your gut tell you about Aaron Rodgers in 2025?
I honestly have no idea. My gut says that he'll sign with the Steelers and he's going to play with the Steelers. I think you look at the other options out there. Like that's why when people floated the Giants, that never made sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like he knows this is the last team he's going to play for. I don't think he wanted to go through that, not only media circus again, but you know, you're comfortable in New York, so you're going to go play for the Giants and potentially win 4 or 5 games. Like he doesn't want to go out like that. And then even the Vikings, you know, they're saying that's still a possibility. Me personally, if I were him, I don't know why you would want to do that, because then the bar is set with what Favre did, and he's always going to be compared to that. So if he doesn't go to an NFC championship or, you know, knock on the doorstep of the Super Bowl, that's going to be something people are constantly going to point to. And just as a competitor and knowing him a little bit better now, I feel like that's something that would kind of eat at you. It's like, well, you tried to follow the Favre career arc and it didn't work out in, you know, New York with the Jets. And then you went with Minnesota and you had all this talent and you couldn't get to the NFC championship like he did. I don't know if he wants to go in Favre's footsteps like that. I think the Steelers makes the most sense. We've heard about his relationship with Tomlin. There, you know, he loves the game and appreciates the game and the history. The Steelers are obviously a historic franchise. I think when you just look at everything, that makes the most sense. Now, whether he's going to make a decision anytime soon, that remains to be seen. I don't think he will.
As a Brett Favre fan, how did you handle when he went to Minnesota? Did you hate him for a couple of years and then love him? Or how tough was that for you as a Packers fan?
It was tough, especially when, you know, they were kind of routinely beating the Packers' ass when he was playing for him. Like that wasn't easy. But Favre was one of those guys too, where once he was playing, you know, like when you would watch the Vikings play, it's like, man, this is the same guy. It's just, it was so hard to hate a guy like that, just because he was so fun to watch and he played just like he did in Green Bay. So it really, I think it struck a nerve at the time, but I was also a little bit younger then, you know, so it's kind of like you don't have as much time to really process it or understand exactly what he was going through. So I didn't love it, especially with the way everything ended in Green Bay. But then when he strapped up the pads and got on the field, it's like, oh, man, you can't hate this guy. This is he's just so much fun to watch.
All right, I'm taking a step away from the Packers because there is a big event that is coming up. Cena or Cody?
Jesus.
Who you got at WrestleMania 41?
I'm a Cena guy through and through. Listen, I know what he's been saying about the fans. I get it. I was actually in a WWE commercial a few years ago dressed in full Cena regalia at one of the WrestleManias in New Orleans.
Jean shorts
so
and all?
I will be a... Oh, yeah, everything. Jean shorts, the full nines. Had to do it. So I'm a Cena guy through and through. I believe we'll be there, so that'll be cool to be in the building for his last WrestleMania. But, yeah, you know, I understand everyone loves Cody. There are a lot of Cody crybabies out there.
Yeah,
but
there are.
I don't care what Cena says about the fans, to the fans. You know, he could say it directly to my face. I will still always ride for John Cena. There's no two ways about it.
You guys just trying to derail the segment there with your WWE.
WrestleMania is a huge event. Okay, a couple weeks away.
So speaking of, I've seen your Hulk Hogan. I've seen your Lou Holtz. I've seen your Mel Kiper. Can you just walk me through this? How did this start, the impressions? You're not exactly like a Frank Caliendo where you're like practicing like the dialect and the, but you are doing these impersonations, these impressions of these big time personalities. Where did this get started, Ty?
I've been doing this since I was probably like 8 years old or so. I have a younger brother and two older brothers. So a lot of times when I was younger, my older brothers would have their friends over and they'd kind of just, I don't want to say, just like push me into the center, but like a lot of times I would just like have to entertain them. And that's where some of like the more ridiculous over the top stuff I say, you know, when you're younger like that, I was just kind of looking for like shock and awe laughs. So I've been doing it for a long time. And it's really one of those things where I'll just kind of, if I hear someone, I might, you know, watch a video or two. I'll try to like get into the mood of it in the shower, but you're right. I'm not like a Caliendo-esque, like that's not really the play. I really focus more on like the content of what I'm saying. You know, like there are a lot of people I think who have better overall impersonations, but I never wanted to just do like the, oh, you know, I'm going to say exactly what this guy says and it sounds just like him. I always thought like I could maybe get a little bit of an edge or be different by being completely ridiculous with what I said in the impression. So I've been doing it for probably like 20 plus years now.
What's your favorite
what's your
one
best
to do?
One?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, what's your best one?
Oh, that's a good question. I think
hear,
a lot
can
of
I
people
hear Holtz?
Would...
I can I hear? I got a great story for Lou Holtz. So we had you would know Ty back in the 90s. We had Aaron Taylor. We had Craig. All Notre Dame guys, right? So we had a lineman, Lindsey Knapp. I don't know if you remember. He was a backup, he was a backup guard, probably number four in the rotation. So he's a four-year starter at Notre Dame. And they're preparing, this is like 93 or 94 for a big game. And Lindsey's playing guard, four-year starter, and Coach Holtz sneaks up behind him. So when he breaks the huddle, Lindsey turns and steps on his foot with seven studs, which hurts. So Coach Holtz is bent over and stuff. And Lindsey goes up to him and goes, "Coach, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there. Are you okay?" And Coach Holtz just looks up to him and goes, "That's okay, Larry." Didn't even know his name after 4 years. So that's Lindsey's nickname to this day in the locker room when we played for him. We just called him, "Hey, Larry."
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that story, Dewey, because I go back and you're right. I didn't know the young man's name. He was a good football player. He was tough. He was dedicated. He really, you know, he did everything we asked people to do at Notre Dame. But I see them big cusses on the line of scrimmage, and I tend to just stay away. You know, to be honest with you, I remember that day well because I had a limp for the next 15 years or so. And
that is
and so,
so
maybe,
good.
Maybe he deserved it. You know, maybe he deserved me calling Larry. I'm glad you guys carried on that legacy. I'll tell you what, if I talked to him today, I'd still call him Larry. Even talking about it right now. What was his real name? I don't even remember.
Coach, it was Lindsey. That is so good. Holy cow, is that good?
Fantastic work, Ty. We really appreciate you digging into your bag of tricks for us. I really hope you and the boys make your way up to Green Bay. I know there's been talk about you guys going and not going, but I really hope that we see you there. It would be awesome to have you at Lambeau Field to celebrate Green Bay getting the draft. Before we let you go, what was your reaction when you heard that Green Bay was going to be hosting the 2025 NFL draft?
Yeah, I mean, I was jacked up, and I was thinking, you know, at the time, like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, we're going to be there, and like you mentioned, we'll see. That's still kind of up in the air, but I hope that there's a little bit of excitement around the Packers pick. The draft, for me personally, you know, a lot of people know, obviously, I went berserk when they drafted Jordan Love, and that kind of carried on, and then even like last year, I wanted them to draft Cooper DeJean. It doesn't happen. So we'll see. I mean, I'm excited about the draft again, where they're picking. I don't know if there's anything to get, you know, too crazy excited about, but it should be fun. I'm glad that Lambeau and the area around it is going to be able to be showcased, because I think a lot of people who haven't been there or aren't familiar with it will be really interested to see how cool that is. So fingers crossed we'll be there, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Ty, we cannot thank you enough for hanging out with us, man. You represent the Packers fan base so well on a show that has a huge audience, and there's only a few guys. I was telling the guys earlier, man, you got the Steelers represented, you got the Patriots represented, and every single day the Green Bay Packers are represented on that stage. So thank you for doing that for us, and thank you for joining us, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. This was fun. So honor was all mine, like I said.
Ty Schmidt. Thanks. From the Pat McAfee Show, hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning and giving us a fantastic top tier. Chewy's confused. He thought that Lou Holtz enjoyed the show, actually. Impression of Lou Holtz. We'll take a break here on the show. Roll on right after this.
Do want to tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. There is a reason you have heard everybody talking about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin here on ESPN Wisconsin for years, because of their unprecedented quality and the service you get from Pella. Basically, when it comes down to Pella, you are getting the best product and the best people who are not just going to disappear after the sale. You can genuinely tell these people love what they do. And at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin right now, take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month and doors as low as $89 per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This does end 3/31/2025. So you want to take advantage. I need to make sure I'm taking advantage of those $89 per month doors. Need a new front door on our house. Get started today. PellaWI.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's always easy with the Ewald Automotive Group. You can get more for the all-new Kia K4 at Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. Just $188 a month. For the Kia K4. More legroom, more miles per gallon than the Sentra. It's the all-new 2025 Kia K4 with a whole lot more. $188 a month for buy. Get it with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. All you need to do is visit Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. Deal does expire at month's end with Ewald. Again, easy. Just always start at the website, ewaldauto.com.
If you missed any of our conversation with Ty Schmidt of the Pat McAfee Show, longtime Packers fan, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or listen wherever you get your podcast. Maybe you're an Apple person or a Spotify person. You can always listen to the podcast of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He gave us great stuff, but I'm not sure there was anything as good as his Lou Holtz impersonation responding to Chewy's story. That's okay, Larry.
It's okay, Larry. He was spot on. That was really good.
Really
I kind of wish I'd closed the screen so I didn't see his face. Do it that way. But that was
you don't
perfect.
Even know how to close the screen. You would have had to close the computer to make that happen. One of the other things that Ty told us was that he thinks, and again, he's just speculating here, that Rodgers will sign with the Steelers. Again, Rodgers, who joins the Pat McAfee Show somewhat regularly, hasn't been on in a while. I think it was December. Was December the last time we saw Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show? Chewy, do you agree that the most likely, the situation that makes the most sense for Aaron Rodgers is to just go ahead and join Mike Tomlin and the Steelers?
I think Minnesota would give him a better chance to win, but Pittsburgh's obviously, with the addition of DK Metcalf, you know, they're pretty loaded because Pittsburgh's always known for D, and you know they're going to be good. But I don't know why the delay. Is the delay he wants the biggest shock value and wait till the draft and announce it then? Or is he really waiting for Minnesota to – because Minnesota's got to sign someone as well, right, Gabe?
They don't have to. They're curious to see where – and again, the only way you know this is with time, because you need time to recover from the knee injury that J.J. McCarthy had. So they want to see how he looks physically, because they loved him. Because we all thought when they signed Sam Darnold, it was like, oh, okay, Darnold will probably start like the first half of the year, and then J.J. McCarthy will come in back half of the year, and that's how they're going to handle it. But it seemed like early in training camp that they loved J.J. McCarthy so much he was going to start until the knee injury hit, and then they had to turn it over to Sam Darnold. So I think they just want to see if he's healthy. And eventually, they're going to want J.J. McCarthy to be that starter. So is Aaron Rodgers cool with going there, playing 10 games, and then potentially giving way to J.J. McCarthy?
You know what, though? Caleb, the Bears love Caleb Williams, too. And look what the hell he did. He's terrible.
Yeah, but once you start, I mean, like, once you start with that guy, you're going to continue to roll with that guy. Like, you draft somebody in the first half of the first round, you're going to get, he's going to play, and he's going to get a pretty long leash to play.
But don't you think Minnesota's win, they believe that their window is open based upon last year?
Sure, but they also have to play J.J. McCarthy, and you're going to have to go through your lumps with J.J. McCarthy at some point.
You think the Cam Hayward thing has any effect on this? You think there's any pause there from Aaron Rodgers when Cam Hayward made those comments about how, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm not direct quoting, but basically that, like, all right, man, this is dragging on. Like, we want to know what our situation is. And, you know, kind of being a part of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes means that you are sort of at the mercy of his decision. I can't help but wonder if, from a psychological standpoint, guys, there's been a bit of an awakening for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he has always been able to sort of dictate how things shook out. And the NFL, as we have talked about this year, has essentially told him, at least from the majority of the teams, no thank you. No thank you. We'll find our quarterback elsewhere.
Is that, let me ask you this, Jen, though.
Yep.
Is this because he's toxic, or do they think he just isn't very good anymore?
I think it's column A, column B.
Yeah, a little from both.
I think it's more toxic.
Well, but you'll put up with the toxicity if he's an MVP. And he's not at that level anymore.
But can he be?
Most teams are obviously saying no, to the point where the music has stopped you, and Pittsburgh's the only team without a quarterback right now. Like, the Steelers have no other option at this point than to wait for Aaron Rodgers until the draft. If Rodgers doesn't give him an answer by the draft, then maybe they decide, hey, Jackson Dart's the third quarterback, and we're going to take him.
I just think, as much as Aaron Rodgers loves the spotlight and will take his time, I think he's rightfully concerned about the offense in Pittsburgh. Like, how much are they going to help me and be good for the style of play I am? That Arthur Smith is a big issue. He probably shouldn't be in the NFL as an offensive coordinator because he loves to run the ball. He loves to give it to guys who aren't that good. Cordell Patterson, names that are like, why is this guy still getting touches in this offense? Kelvin Austin is, for some reason, a feature of their offense. So he's looking across going, am I going to be able to have a successful offense with this guy there? And then add in the factor of those two wide receivers don't really mesh with him. They're not Devontae-style wide receivers. They are big bullies. Typically, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well with those guys. And not from personality side, just I want my guys where they're supposed to be at all times. We've seen it 1,000 times. Having those two, I don't think, is the right fit.
And if you take a year off, which is now, again, that's basically retirement.
Right.
That's basically retirement.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're banking on a late.
Did Flacco take a year off? Was he out of the league for a year, or was it shorter than that when he sort of went in and saved the season?
Shorter than that.
And look, could there be an injury? Of course it can. It's the NFL. It's physical punishing sport. League. Could there be an injury? Yes. But again, then you are sort of a victim of circumstance. You're going wherever there's an injury to quarterback and coming in and trying to do. And there's no guarantee, to your point, Joshy, that he would be willing. Because in that situation, you got to mesh with what they got going on there. That's not a we mesh to you situation. You mesh to them. And I'm not sure Aaron has ever been great at that. And I understand his preference not to, having been the greatest, one of the greatest, at his position. But it is an interesting, and I do think, I want to be clear. I know there's been criticism about him taking his time, quote unquote. I actually think he's doing responsible due diligence, as opposed to just sort of on a whim, you know, or flipping a coin or making it some sort of, well, I got to decide by this day. I feel like he is probably processing this thing to the nth degree. And to your point, Joshy, it's not the greatest situation. Minnesota would have been the best situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are primed to win now. They are a quarterback away, essentially. Is Aaron Rodgers that quarterback? Remains to be seen. Go ahead, Chu.
You think Tomlin, though, who's, you know, one of the more well-respected coaches in this league, that's kind of, you know, Pittsburgh tough. Do you think he said to him, hey, we don't need the drama? Can you say that to him?
I think if anybody could, he could,
but
right?
Would Aaron take offense to that?
Maybe, but there seemed to be at least a surface-level, decent enough relationship. Like, that was, you know, that was rumored destination years ago for Aaron Rodgers.
Let's also be honest, though. Tomlin and the Steelers are in a spot where they need to make whoever they're trying to bring in as happy as possible. They really aren't in a point of, you need to do it the Steelers way, and you need to be a Mike Tomlin guy. Says who? You guys need me more than I need you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. Do we think he retires?
I think he should. I said that several weeks ago when we had this conversation. Everything he's accomplished and everything he's done, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Again, nothing he will do changes that. But the only reason you keep playing, I feel like, is a little bit of ego. It's that need to show that you can still do it. Or the proverbial, I'm not going out like that. Which motivates a lot of movies, right? But in real life, I think like the best option is probably, it's not ideal to go to the Steelers. You would be taking a secondary option because it's the only option. I think you walk away. I think you say, I've done so much for this game. I've accomplished so much. Are the Steelers winning the Super Bowl?
No.
With Aaron Rodgers?
In 2025.
Got a better chance with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's like the Steelers aren't winning the Super Bowl. So it's not like you're going to have one last hurrah. You're going to go out on top hoisting the trophy. Did Manning do that?
He did.
Go out on top winning the trophy with the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, the only way you can do it is apparently if you're with the Broncos. It's the only way to go out on top. And John Elway did it. Peyton Manning did it.
And they don't need a quarterback. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Week in Rechew coming up next.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff earlier.
From one white stiff to another. I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest. Most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe is one of the smart ones. Got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the Jewelry Center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it to the Jewelry Center. They have three locations to stop into, Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts. Online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, in Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Rechew.
This is where we quiz Chewy on things that he said throughout the course of the week. Josh has put together five questions. Chewy, you get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. You ready to go, big guy?
Yes, sir.
Question number one.
I love the snare drum, Joshy.
What happened in Nashville over the weekend that led you to proclaim that you loved the snare drum?
They played the bongos during the national anthem.
Yeah, that's correct. The bongo national anthem.
Yeah.
At the Nashville Predators game. All right, one for one. Off to a good start. Question number two. Yeah.
When you got Shopgoal, right down the way, and I used to do a little work for Shopgoal, it's just as good.
What is the big box store that Jason has vowed to never shop at again, causing you to suggest the no longer existing Shopko?
As my mother used to say, Target, because it sounds a little more bougie.
Target is correct. Yes, we're talking about two. Yeah, two for two. It's off to a great start.
Hot.
This one, though, going to be a little tougher, I think. Question number three, Joshy. That's fair.
Are the Hartford Whalers still there? I don't even know.
What team did you find out the Hartford Whalers became after leaving Hartford in 1997?
Carolina Hurricane?
Oh, wow.
Wow. I'm just draining threes left and right.
Just, that was a
Alabama
heat check.
Alabama over here.
Just
yeah.
a heat check.
I'm going to shoot this one with my left hand.
All right. Well, he's 3-for-3. He has already won. We see if he can run up the score on Joshy with question number four.
See, like for I tried a pilot, creating this app. I tried creating it, and I didn't know how to do it, so I had let it go.
Of your many would-be inventions that have never come to fruition, what is the app you thought of but were unable to execute?
Passports and licenses on your phone. Just drained it. I stepped that one back, too.
This is a logo three.
All right, so we have never made it to this point.
He's gotten every single one right.
We have never gone 4-for-4. Yes, usually, I mean, there's some hemming, there's some hawing. He has just nailed.
Hinting.
All four. Yeah, we got a hint. We got to help him out. What day was this on?
Gabe, did I change this question? Is it going to make sense? I forgot.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know because I don't know what you're thinking.
All right, well,
but
we're freestyling
this. I guess we'll figure out what the audio clip is.
Josh, just because you invented a chair doesn't mean no one else can build a chair.
It's right.
What is the new mascot race that the dirty scoundrel David Stearns and the New York Mets stole from the Milwaukee Brewers?
Stepping back, hand in the face, the five boroughs.
He has gone 5-for-5. It has never happened Joshy. In the history of we
just
reach
got
you.
Worked.
He worked. Got all five right and then called a shot on top of it.
Wait, time out. Was the dirty scoundrel thing on the paper, or was that an ad lib?
No, it's the dirty scoundrel David Stearns. No, it is word for word. I wanted to make sure that, you know, that Joshy had his opinions of David Stearns correctly represented in the question.
Wait, I didn't hear this. When did this happen?
They announced it earlier this week.
It'll be this season? It'll
yes.
be this season? They're racing the five boroughs?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're using the pizza and giraffe and a subway and a skyscraper.
And
it's lame.
Yeah, I can't remember what the other
okay
one was.
Oh,
the ferry. The Staten Island ferry.
Josh, it's his toadiness. He thinks they should only do it in Milwaukee, and that's just not right.
He just thinks you shouldn't blatantly steal content. That's what it comes yes. down to, right? Like intellectual property and whatnot. They have whole lawyers for that stuff.
And if you're going to do it well. Like Washington, the Nationals, that the President's Race is fun. It's cool. It's a spin on it that makes sense. This is forced, ham-handed, ham-fisted.
And they look terrible. Like, the mascots just look
cheap.
Awful.
I haven't seen them yet. They're
it's cheap.
So if they were to upgrade the outfits, would you feel differently about it? No. It sounds like, Joshy,
update
it's
the premise.
It's principle over there.
There is part principle, but the premise sucks. The premise just doesn't carry. It doesn't make sense. The mascots to the, like, pizza in Brooklyn, creative. You could also do that for all five boroughs.
Hold on. Did you guys put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this week if people have an issue with it?
I don't believe we did.
Let's do it.
I don't think we did, yeah.
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Because I'm not sure. I'm curious about how Brewers fans feel about all these other teams ripping off the sausage race.
Do I phrase it the same way as how do you feel about the dirty scoundrel David Stearns?
Yes.
Well, maybe we pull that first.
Is David Stearns a dirty scoundrel? Just straight up?
And then we see how that comes back. Uh-huh. And then we pull the David Stearns thing about the five borough racing. Okay, that's good to know. That's information I was not familiar with, was not aware of. I appreciate you sharing that with me. And Chewy, congratulations.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Yeah, it feels good. It'll be back to normal next week.
I mean, going into a weekend with a 5-for-5 week in reach you performance.
Not bad.
And again, it wasn't the fact that it was the first ever 5-for-5. It was the quickness in which he responded to every single question. Like, he actually knew them. He didn't have to dig in the brain. He just knew the answers.
You weren't putting together context clues like you've had to in the past or work your way through it. It was just there.
No. I think the lack of Blammer Thursdays is probably paying off.
You're juicing. You're juicing.
Lack of performance dehancers?
Yeah. Well, Joshie always comes in expecting there to be a low level, right?
Just a little fogginess, a little haziness.
The bar's not real high,
Exactly. You've set the bar so low, Joshie's like, these are the questions. And now he finds out that you haven't been engaging in your normal activities on Thursdays, and that is affecting your intellect. He'll adjust. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'll go 0-for-5 next week.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll wrap up the show right after this. You guys have heard me talk about one of the best purchases I have made. Went to the state fair, saw a sauna at the Good Health Saunas display, wanted it, bought it. It has changed my game, and it can change yours as well, guys. I have extra energy, extra flexibility. My skin looks better. I am sleeping better. There's detoxification benefits, all of it just from my Good Health Sauna. And now through the 30th, you can visit Good Health Saunas at the Realtors Home and Garden Show. So if you're looking for a sauna or you're curious about a sauna, this is where you can check it out. You can also go to their website, goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen. There you can get $500 to $800 off your purchase. Remember, that's goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. App.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once throw up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is another big day of sports here across the country. We've got the MLB still opening up. We've got tournament time. It is the second day of the Sweet 16. I'm going to be looking at putting an under on the Houston and Purdue game. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to download the Wanna Parlay app. It is so much fun, and you can compete against me and other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. It's just $2 for a shot at taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple. There are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contest every single week. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match. That is code JGC. Download the Wanna Parlay app, download the code, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. Must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
Reaction rolling in on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy carbless talking text line. Liss is more. Chris says the Mets should do a five boroughs as five donkey costumes, but each one has the name on its collar. Am I missing a connection between the donkeys and the boroughs?
You just said it. Think about it. You said you're missing a connection between the donkeys and the boroughs.
Burrows.
There you go.
Burrows. Get it.
It's a different spelling of burrow.
French class. Did you get it, Joshy?
Yes.
When you said it? Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Gabe, for guiding us through that one. Chewy, do you get it?
No.
I mean, we knew that answer.
No, I gave everything I had.
It's Friday.
Okay.
Left it
everything.
Left it all out on the field.
Has nothing
left to give. Tank is on empty.
Speaking of, lots of reaction rolling in, Chewy, to your 5-for-5 performance. Dumpy in West Bend says, I'm shedding tears of joy. I've just witnessed history. Meanwhile, Matt says, I thought Chewy didn't like stats or records. 5-for-5, we can reach you is a better accomplishment than the leadoff catcher home run on opening day. So,
have I ever gone 0-for-5?
You've never gone 0-for-5. You've never gone 0-for-5. You had never gone 5-for-5 until today.
Okay.
Incredible. Ron and Key says, isn't remembering who Jen is more impressive than we can reach you? I was gone for 1 week. Like, jeez. Listen, this has been fun. You know, we tried to throw a fourth guest onto the show today and thought maybe that was a little too much.
Yeah. I don't think we would have had time.
If you missed our conversations with Jason Wilde or Craig Karmazin or Ty Schmidt, find them on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Wilde and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you all at Thanalysis Live at Pottawatomie Hotel and Sportsbook tomorrow night.